Recording from New York City, welcome to the Stevie and Sea Breezy Show. I'm your host, Steven Inman, alongside my friend and co-host, Chris Brito. We'll get to the Kyrie Irving situation, sweepstakes, whatever you want to call it, in a moment. But first, let's take a step back and recap the latest with the Knicks. They promoted Steve Mills, as expected, to team president, and have hired former Kings executive Scott Perry to be the team's 21st general manager. Chris, are you confident that Scott Perry is the guy that turned the Knicks in the right direction?
Hey, everyone. Well, there's a lot to say about this new hire. Honestly, it took me a little bit by surprise because I've never really heard of him before the Knicks announced him to be the new general manager. And I think it took a lot of people by surprise. After looking at his acumen, what I can see is someone who's been around different types of youth movements and movements that eventually have turned into a championship run. So he's had experience with the Detroit Pistons. There, he was part of the team that brought a championship to Detroit and arguably one of the most team-centric squads in basketball history. Not a single All-Star that year, and still, they beat a Lakers team with Kobe, Shaquille O'Neal, Gary Payton, and Karl Malone. Now, then he went to Seattle Supersonics, where they were part of the team that drafted Kevin Durant with the number 2 overall pick. So right then, Perry has been exposed to places where they know great talent. Then he went to Orlando, where he became the assistant general manager under Rob Hannigan. In this situation, he was part of the team. He was part of the squad that got Victor Oladipo, Aaron Gordon, Elfrid Payton, and Mario Hezonja. Arguably, none of these players are, all-star players. But considering the caliber of the drafts and the position where the Orlando Magic were to take these players, these are all solid NBA players, with the exception of Super Mario, who hasn't really carved out a role for him with the Magic. Now, then, while he was fired with Orlando Magic, then he went to Sacramento Kings, and then there, he was part of another youth movement where they had several good, decent Kings players, draftees that are projected to be starters for that squad. Considering all these different factors, I think he is the guy. He is the guy who will turn the Knicks team around. And frankly, the most important thing is to manage expectations with him. So benchmark number one, in my opinion, is to have a clear vision moving forward. What do we do with Carmelo? What do we do with Porzingis? What do we do with the rest of the roster? So clear vision number one. And the other important thing that many people aren't really talking about is this team needs to have stability moving forward, Steve. I think what scares most players from the Knicks is not so much the lack of talent or, the lack of stars or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, it's the lack of stability. There's just too much chaos. This needs to be a plan, four to five-year plan with Steve Mills and company. And it doesn't matter how big the market is, you're going to scare people away with these big-time players. Now, for me, a good move for Perry to do in year one is getting Kyrie Irving back home. As you all know, he's been the subject of trade rumors because he wants to get out of Cleveland. And frankly, I think getting a splashy move like Kyrie Irving year one will make a lot of Knicks fans happy and forget all about Carmelo and all the drama that we've had in the past few years. So what do you think, Steve? Is getting someone like Kyrie Irving make sense for the Knicks?
Chris, I completely disagree with getting Kyrie Irving on this. And you mentioned the teams that Perry was involved in that he was helping to build. The Orlando Magic, with a lot of good young players, a lot of draft picks. The Kings, some good young players, a lot of draft picks. Supersonics, the Piston team did not really have a big-time star. They had a lot of great players, but no all-stars on that team that won it all. He's a guy who develops from within. So for me, taking 4 or 5 draft pick / players and shipping them to Cleveland for 2 years of Kyrie Irving doesn't make a ton of sense, because Kyrie Irving is a guy who is a short-term rental. He's a 2-year player. If you cannot show that he can win here and that he loves it here, he's going to go somewhere else. Because at the end of the day, he probably loved to be in MSG. He loves the spotlight. It seems like he made all his big shots in the biggest moments. But at the same time, he can be a star, you know, endorsements wise, you know, TV wise, anywhere. It's the NBA. Anyone can be a star anywhere. You know, look at the San Antonio Spurs. They've had stars for the last 20 years. They haven't had a losing season since. So for Kyrie to come here, you're basically saying him and Kristaps were ready to win right now, and I don't think they have enough assets here to allow that to happen.
I mean, you could also argue that even someone like Porzingis, like, unless he sees a big change in the next year before his next big contract, like, this is a trial run for him, too. Like, he could be like, oh, hey, the Knicks aren't investing enough in the future.
I think it's different for him because he'd be a restricted free agent, and the Knicks can match wherever he goes. And there have been very few players I can think of who have gotten to their rookie, expire their rookie deal, and then turned down $100 million from their current team. You always see it. The stars always leave. When the stars do leave, it's after that first extension. Kyrie was, you know, in a dysfunctional situation when the first time he came with his contract up, and he re-signed, 4 years, $100 million, 5 years, $100 million. LeBron showed up a couple weeks later, and here they are.
Right. Well, what do you think large picture NBA, like, makes sense for Kyrie? Where do you actually see him going if the Cleveland Cavaliers decide to trade him? Because, frankly, they don't have to trade him, but they're looking for the best deal. Who can offer the Cavaliers the best deal?
Well, real quick, if I'm them, I do everything in my power to put him and LeBron in one room and say, we got to work this out. LeBron will be a free agent in a year. You really want to, you know, not give this one last chance to see if you could take down the Golden State Warriors. One more chance. You know how hard it is to win a championship? Those times where you say, we can win it all this year are so few and far between. So for Kyrie to kind of just leave this, you know, not unfinished because they did win one championship, but to not give it another try to me is ridiculous. I would move heaven and earth to try to make sure those two guys can be in a room along with whoever else is in charge. It's very unclear who's in charge at this point with that team. They did recently hire a general manager, but who knows if they've even met LeBron and met Kyrie Irving.
Right.
If they are going to move him to Phoenix Suns, to me, are the perfect fit, because what they can provide Cleveland is a steady point guard, Eric Bledsoe, who can help LeBron now. They both have the same agent, along with, you know, good young players for the future like Josh Jackson. You know, Marquise Chris is there. Maybe one of those guys, along with maybe a future first-round pick. And then Kyrie can go to Phoenix, run and gun with that great system with a Booker. And then maybe Chris could stay around, or Josh Jackson, they can keep one of those guys. You know, Tyson Chandler's still there, so they still have some veteran pieces.
Is that a playoff team, though, if you add Kyrie Irving minus those other assets that you're talking about?
That's a good question.
In the tough West? Frankly, I don't see them even being a top.
In the tough West?
Top seven.
I think they'll compete for a playoff spot. I would probably say with Kyrie, and I think Booker's going to keep getting better. I think he's going to take another step up this year. I think they are a playoff team. They're not a championship team. And I don't know if I'm Phoenix, I would do something like that, because you have, again, it's the same thing with the Knicks. You have 2 years to prove to Kyrie that this is where he wants to be for his next contract. Sometimes these moves work out. Like, for example, the Houston Rockets took a chance on James Harden.
And look how great that's worked
out. Who was a free agent to be. They extended him, and they told him, look, this is your chance. This is your own team. He's been there for, you know, what, almost 6 years now. So, and that's worked out really well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot riding on what happens with the Cavaliers this offseason. If they don't get something for Kyrie, then they have to, like, try to make it work out. Unfortunately, their other problem right now is, like, can they even build a roster that can compete with the Golden State Warriors? They don't have enough pieces. They have a lot of aging parts. Frankly, I don't think they have it in them to make a splash. They're not even in the run for the Carmelo Anthony sweepstakes. I don't know.
I would guess that the Cavs have to do something. They have to do something that changes up. It's a very toxic situation right now. And, you know, they were talking about trading Kevin Love. Now they're talking about trading Kyrie Irving. In an ideal, it used to be where you keep those three stars, they'd all take slightly less money, and then everyone wanted to come play with them.
Right.
But I really haven't heard of too many big-time players trying to play with Cleveland right now. I mean, Derrick Rose is coming, but basically it seems like he's coming for the reason that he could take Kyrie's spot, not to add to that group.
Right, and frankly, LeBron James' relationship with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh was much different than the one he has with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. I've almost never heard of them, like, hanging out or even taking a picture together. I don't even remember seeing that anywhere. Aside from the court, I've never seen them together. And frankly, I think Kyrie's just tired of being in the shadow of LeBron James. I mean, that's necessarily news, but the whole idea that, like, Kyrie, he was a star on the rise. You could say whatever you want about the Cavaliers franchise before LeBron, but he was putting that team on his back. There was nobody else. Not even LeBron James could have done something with that roster. Let's be frank here. And he's what? A 22-year-old, 21-year-old?
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, though, because you look at Kyrie and he says he wants to run his own team and he's trying to get out of LeBron's shadow. But at the same time, why not wait it out then? LeBron's going to be a free agent in a year. He's not said any words about coming back to Cleveland. Why wouldn't you just wait this out a year and be, you know, Cleveland's hero?
And I told
if LeBron leaves again, all of a sudden Kyrie's like, hey, I didn't leave. I stayed and I'm, you know, I'm the go-to guy.
I totally get that. But I think part of it, too, is, yes, he wants to be the guy, but I think his move, he doesn't, the bigger narrative here is how LeBron's influence is hurting him. We want to talk about that whole, 1 year, let's see what happens. But frankly, if you don't know what your future is, like, that kind of goes along with, like, the Knicks thing. Like, not having stability could be like mind-numbing for a whole year. Like, oh, you have to worry about, oh, what is LeBron going to do? LeBron's bullshit about him going to, like, L.A., I mean, that must wear on Kyrie too, man. Like, I know that if I had to depend on another person for my success, I would not want to be on that sort of spectrum.
But, like, don't you want one last chance to win a championship?
I already won one, though.
All right.
I already won one thing in Cleveland, like, yeah, it's great, but I could probably win somewhere else, and I could prove it to you. Trade me, and you'll find out.
Yeah, all right. But like we said, like we're talking about Phoenix, we're talking about some of these other teams. Would Kyrie be a playoff team in these other situations? We think no, but again, maybe his ego's a lot bigger than, you know, he's like, he can win without LeBron.
I think Kyrie's a much smarter guy than we give him credit to. Look at the places he's picked. He's picked, with the exception of the Knicks, he's picked franchises that have a good,
stable
system.
Popovich, Thibodeau.
Right. Like Pat Riley. Who wouldn't want to be in a system where someone like Pat Riley, who knows how to win, and like slowly but surely, he's doing a great job with Miami. All the picks that they have, they've developed them. They haven't traded for them. The Timberwolves, too. The Timberwolves, slowly but surely, are getting the whole gang back together from the Bulls playoff teams from a few years ago, and the Spurs, that makes even more sense because of the relationship, you know, Popovich, and you know Coach K had with Kyrie with the USA basketball team. Moving forward, the move that makes the most sense with me is Miami, because they probably have more assets that they can give Cleveland.
What would they give Cleveland?
Well, they have. There's a bunch of things they could do. Right now, Riley's the type of guy who will get his man if he knows it's available. I'm assuming even behind closed doors right now, he's probably making all the calls necessary to make it happen. For me, it just makes the most sense. They have Tyler Johnson. They have a bunch of players that they could, you know, move if the right deal comes up with the Cavaliers. And frankly, you could always involve the third team, fourth team.
I mean, if I'm them, I just hold on to Kyrie as long as I can. Again, they have no obligation to trade him. They have no obligation to listen to the teams he requested to be traded to. We'll have to wait and see on that for the next Stevie and Sue Breezy show. Final thoughts, Chris? Anything else you want to add to the show?
I really want to compliment the Brooklyn Nets, who I think have had the best offseason this year. I had the Timberwolves first and the Kings second for many weeks until the recent deal that the Nets traded Andrew Nicholson to the Portland Trailblazers for Allen Crabbe, a guy that has been on their radar since last year because they also tried to sign him to an offer sheet.
They did sign him to the offer
sheet. You're right. They did sign him to an offer sheet. It didn't work out. He ended up going back to the Portland Trailblazers. But now the Trailblazers seeing an opportunity there to dump some salary.
They're over the cap, you know, signing Evan Turner, signing all these guys. You know, a 44.
Frankly, didn't make sense. And now the Nets are in a great position. And I may be crazy, and you can call me crazy in a few months, but I think the Nets could be a fringe playoff team. They have.
I'm not with you on that.
You know why? Because the East is very weak.
Right.
They don't have. I could probably name five sure bet.
Right.
Playoff teams.
Okay.
And just the way the team was playing with a healthy Lin and. To properly run the point guard position, they basically didn't have a point guard for the longest time. You have someone like Lin, you have D'Angelo Russell, and then you have someone like Crabbe, and you have the rookie Jared Allen. That's gonna be a run and gun team. That's gonna be a fun team to watch.
Kenny Atkinson has always been that kind of coach. He's excited about that. He's bringing some of his own guys. You know, running DeMar Carroll used to
right,
coach.
And then you have DeMar Carroll. Frankly, I think the Nets are a team to watch. Call me crazy, but this could be a fringe playoff team.
Would you say right now they're better team talent-wise than the Knicks? Because if you're saying
talent-wise, do you mean this team could beat the Knicks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's very interesting. We'll have to wait and see. I'm not with you on that at all. Jeremy Lin is not showing he could be healthy. D'Angelo Russell is
right.
Up and down.
Granted, I'm saying this assuming the team will be healthy.
Okay.
I should put that as a footnote.
Sure. We'll have to wait and see on that. I think this trade is very interesting for a number of reasons. Obviously, you mentioned the Nets angle of it, but from Portland's perspective, now they have a little bit of cap room. Could they then be the third team in this Melo deal with Houston to send Ryan Anderson to Portland, a piece like a Myers Leonard or a Harkless back to New York, and then Melo goes to Houston? It's still got a lot of pieces to be moved. The Knicks are trying to get a first-round pick somewhere in the late first round for Melo. It's still got a lot of moving pieces here, but that to me makes a ton of sense. And we've been saying all along that Melo's not getting moved until they can figure out a team to take Ryan Anderson's contract. And now here is a team that's opened up. We'll have to wait and see on that for the next Stevie and Sue Breezy show.
Yeah. Who knows if Carmelo will be a Houston Rocket.
Yeah, you never know.
I'll be one of the ones buying in New Jersey, so.
I will not be. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye, guys.